A Dose of Prevention. The National Association of Chronic Disease Directors on-demand learning series on leadership and management for state, local, tribal, and territorial chronic disease and health promotion professionals.
Hi, this is Jean O'Connor, consultant with the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors, or NACDD, here with my colleague, Lisa Erk.
Jean, we are so excited to share this new brief leadership training series for National Association of Chronic Disease Directors. It's designed for all staff in state and local chronic disease units across the United States and its territories. In this lesson today, we are going to discuss facilitation. It is a key skill we all need in our work. And this time, we have a top 10 list of facilitation tips and tricks you can use in your chronic disease prevention practice.
Sounds great. Can we work our way through the tips in the order we might actually facilitate a meeting?
Absolutely. What a great idea. Let's go ahead and get started. Once you know there will be a meeting or a setting where facilitation will be needed, one of the most important things you can do is to plan ahead. Who, what, where, and when? For the who, it's so critical not only to consider who will attend, but also who will facilitate and who will help make the meeting a success through note-taking, facilitation, breakout conversations if there are any, and handling the follow-up from those conversations.
Right. It's really important to consider who the facilitator will be. Sometimes it's important to use an outside person or someone other than yourself, especially if you want to be in the discussion. And making sure you have the right people in the room for the conversation you want to have is also critical. So what's next?
The second tip we have is to know your audience. Who is this group of the right people? Are they all like-minded people coming to solve a problem? Or are they coming from very different perspectives? Do they have a history of working together? Are they experts or maybe generalists?
Lisa, can you tell us a little bit about why this is so important to good facilitation?
Sure. It's really important to know your audience. Will you really want to prepare for any potential combination? By learning from your audience in advance, you will select some of the best approaches to get the dialogue going and to keep the meeting productive.
Some ways to do that might be things like looking up their bios, surveying them, or asking someone who knows the group well.
Right. It's also really important so you can assess if you are the best facilitator for your job or the group. Sometimes, because of the history or the issue of the group in the room, it's better to understand who can best play the role of facilitator for that particular meeting.
Okay, terrific, Lisa. So what's next? What's our number three?
I love this one, Jean. It's really fun. It's about creating a creative environment. If you get to the space in advance, try to make it as comfortable and creative as possible. You want to get those juices flowing. Some ways to do that are to put out things on the table for people to do, to be productive, like fidgeting or markers or note cards or even little toys. If you always use a particular room, try changing the configuration of the furniture to help signal that this is the time when you want participants to think differently.
Those are great ideas, Lisa. You could even maybe put up some paper on a wall and invite people to share their additional ideas there. Sometimes we call this a bike rack or a parking lot, but since that sounds like stopping something, I like labeling it something more like exciting ideas for more discussion.
You know, one of the other things that I've seen people do is to use pictures for an icebreaker. Icebreakers can also be in the form of questions. For example, if you had to describe your project as a form of transportation, what would it be? Trying to make it as creative as possible helps people to look at that image and to see how that speaks to them.
That's a terrific idea, Lisa. Okay, so now we're on to number four.
All right, tip number four. It's important to set the scene and the expectations for the meeting. Clarify the purpose of that meeting. Is everyone in the conversation meant to be there? Are there pressing things that need to go on into that conversation or other exciting ideas? Maybe add that to a discussion table for a later date. Is everyone able to stay for the entire time? Do people understand why some people may need to leave the discussion at a particular time? It's really important to set appropriate expectations before you begin.
Great point. And you could also do this in a participatory way by asking people to help create that purpose statement and those expectations on a sign to post on the wall for the meeting. So what's number five, Lisa?
Don't forget your introverts.
Yeah, this is always a key one. We've all been to meetings where either we didn't feel comfortable speaking ourselves, whether we were an introvert or not, or where someone else never spoke and no one was able to benefit from their ideas. So what can a good facilitator do to avoid this, Lisa, and help make everyone feel comfortable and create an environment where they can share?
It's always a wonderful idea to try to get the perspective of everyone in your room. One thing that can be done to do this is to ensure that every major topic or question is covered in the facilitation, provides an opportunity for written and verbal comments, and also allows people to choose. Maybe someone who doesn't want to speak up is willing to rewrite their idea anonymously and have someone else read it. Without calling on people directly, you can also walk around during some of the activities and ask people who aren't speaking up if they are feeling heard or if anything else that they want to add to the conversation.
That's all really great advice, Lisa. So I know we don't have a lot of time. What about number six?
It's really important to Jean to identify those win-win-win situations. There's a great book called Getting to Yes. It is all about the idea that often what people want, think, or say isn't mutually exclusive with another person's ideas. Sometimes when people are proposing what sounds like opposing ideas, we can ask more questions to draw out the fact that they are not.
Terrific. And so what about number seven?
Point number seven is somewhat related. A good facilitator promotes conversational intelligence.
Right. I think you mean if we're in a group that's trying to build trust, shifting the language from I to we. So instead of saying, I think this or you think this, say we want to achieve. Right. This isn't always appropriate, though, in all settings or facilitations. But I've noticed that when you feel the tension rising in a group, it can help a lot. Using the word we rather than I or you helps to build the feeling of inclusion, even when there isn't agreement.
And this idea of conversational intelligence, it's actually the name of a book where anyone who is interested to learn more about this topic can go on and read it. Okay, Jean, on to point number eight. Let's break the pattern.
So can you give us some examples of how to break the pattern in a room when you're facilitating?
Sure. What do I mean by break the pattern? We want to make sure that we have some flow and same flow of conversations and thoughts for the entire meeting. We want to create room for all perspectives and ideas. We can do this by using visuals, including everything from writing ideas on a piece of paper on the wall to literally creating a drawing of what's being discussed.
That's terrific. Okay, now what about number nine?
We're getting to the end. Number nine, this one is super practical. Keep a clock where everyone can see it and remind people about the time. If you have 15 minutes set aside for an activity, tell people before that and remind them of the start time. Also remind them when they are halfway through the discussion and point out when your time is coming to an end. If someone has an important idea but it's too lengthy or too inappropriate for that time, ask them to write it down and come back to it later. It's really important to be aware of people's times and expectations.
Terrific. Okay, and now number 10, right? I think that one is make sure that we have or you have a plan for productive closure to the meeting.
Sure, I feel like we should do a drum roll or something. It's important to make sure that you know in advance how you are going to close up or wrap up the meeting. Set aside some time on the agenda to reflect back about what you heard and to let people know or make a plan for what's coming next. Make sure that this is really realistic. You can make your closing interactive by inviting participants to share their thoughts. For example, you can ask meeting participants about their aha moment during the meeting. Or what are some action items that they will want to take back to their teams?
Right, and don't overpromise either on next steps, right? I mean, we've all been to meetings where someone promises that the notes will be sent out later that day, and then they struggle to get them out. We really recommend that as you're summarizing or asking participants to help summarize, writing down some of those things on a piece of paper on the wall so that everybody can take those ideas with them when they go.
That's great, Jean. I'd like to end by making sure that we review your top 10 tips and tricks. Number one, plan ahead. Number two, know your audience. Number three, establish a creative environment. Number four, set the scene and expectations. Number five, engage introverts. Number six, try to identify the win-win-win idea. Number seven, promote conversational intelligence. Encourage language that shifts from the I to the we. Number eight, break the pattern and use visuals to stimulate productive conversation. Number nine, stay focused and keep an eye on your time. And last but not least, provide closure to the meeting.
Lisa, this was great. Thanks so much. And we hope that this was helpful to everyone listening. This list and a tip sheet is available on the website where you found this podcast.
Jean, happy facilitating. In the other lessons in this series, we explore emotional intelligence and other tools such as leading through change, which may also help you in your facilitation exercises. You can find these on the National Association for Chronic Disease Directors website, www.chronicdisease.org.
Thanks. This was Lisa Erk and Jean O'Connor with the On Demand Learning Series of the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors. We'll talk with you again soon.
You can find more at NACDD's website, www.chronicdisease.org.